Right, let's start pay hey amud bet. The at the end of the two dots, two lines from the bottom, we are going to start there. Krevite de Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman had some relatives. Vinta l'ktubato betovatano. So she sold her ksuba for a de minimis amount, meaning that the value of the ksuba today, right, is determined by two factors. One is her actuarial life, how long she's going to live from this point on, right? So how young she is will determine the value of her ksuba. Plus, the secondary consideration is whether she predeceases her husband or her husband predeceases her, right? So her, she gets divorced, meaning that the rights to a ksuba will be dependent on how long she will live, plus whether she will actually get the ksuba or not. So if you buy a ksuba from a woman, you have to take into consideration both those factors. So the present value of the ksuba plus the considering the possibility that you won't end up with it at all, right? So you get tovas hanah. There's a small amount that the ksuba is worth. Igarsho. So ended up, she got divorced, and it was worth something, the ksuba. So these third party people, the people who bought it, wanted to get their money. Ushchiba. And then she dies before she collects her ksuba. So atu katavi lo brato. So these buyers went and made a claim against her daughter. His daughter now is going to inherit the ksuba. So they went to the daughter to claim the ksuba that they had bought from the mother. So Amar lahu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to these buyers, lekan d'lispa lo eitza. So there's no one around who can give this young girl advice. Teize el v'techla k'tuba so d'ima. Let her go and forgive the ksuba of her ima, the gabi avua, towards her father. I mean, who's the obligation? The ksuba is an obligation of the father towards the mother. So we said before in the Mishnah, what, that a yoresh, right, that we just said before, not in the Mishnah, but in the statement of the Amoraim, that a shtar chov, the, if you sell a shtar chov, you can forgive the chov even after it's been sold, right? That is true not only of the owner of the chov, but the creditor, but the, even the children of the creditors can do the same thing. They can forgive the loan. So over here too, the daughter, right, is the daughter of the creditor being the mother, who has owed the money by the father as a ksuba. So why can't she come along and forgive the loan? So what does that do for her? And then inherit from her father. So she'll benefit from what? The third parties will lose out, the buyers will lose out on their ksuba, right? And then what? And then she'll inherit the full amount from her father. Right? Shama, she heard him. Asla achilta, and she went ahead and was mochel on the ksuba. So Amar Rav Nachman, asino etzmenu k'orche edayam. And then, okay, this is a statement we saw earlier by Yochanan also, we gave advice to relatives. It says we made ourselves like, you know, lawyers or people who advise the Balei Din to make their claims better, to help them out in these situations. So Gemara says, Mikar my sover, Sof my sover. In the beginning, he was willing to give the advice. So why didn't he think of the problem of Orchei Dayanim then? And Sof my sover, in the end, why was he upset that he gave the advice? So Gemara says, Mikar my sover, Mibusar chalo titalem. Right? That was the, we've seen this also earlier in the Gemara. Basuk says what? From your own flesh, do not be blinded, do not look away. I mean, take care of your relatives. So he went to take care of his relative. It was so severe, Adam Chashuv Shaini, that the person is of his stature, it's inappropriate for him to be giving advice like this, because it looks like he's either favoring parties or helping out or changing the outcome of cases based on his advice. So therefore, it was inappropriate. So the case, again, it's an interesting case, where the ksuba, which is the mother, is a creditor to the father, and then the daughter, after the mother's been divorced and died, the daughter wants to forgive the ksuba. So now, the question that you have to ask is, what happens when, and we had this question yesterday, it's the next Gemara, all right? Why don't we do the next two pieces in the Gemara, and then we'll come back and ask this question, which is a strong question against this case. Gufa. Amar Shmuel, Mocher Shtar Chov L'Chaveiro V'Chazor Machlo Machul. And that's the statement of Shmuel that we're using over here. That someone who buys a Shtar Chov and then forgives the Chov, right, that is Machul. V'Afilu Yoresh Mochel. And even the inheritor is Mochel, which is...
Who sells the...
I'm sorry, who sells, right? Sorry, someone who sells the Chov, right, can forgive the chov even after he sold it, but and even his yorish can do that, right? That's what we just had our case where the daughter forgave it. Amravuna breder Yeshua be pikeachu. If the buyer is smart, mekakashale zuze, he'll jingle money in front of the love, and he'll get a shtar written. I mean that if he's smart, he'll pay the guy to write him another shtar. So that way he can get rid of the original shtar and get a shtar written in his name where he'll have rights to collect and the original creditor's forgiveness will not impact on his shtar. So again, so it takes, you know, he'll have to pay. He has the money to get it. But if he pays some sort of...
discount the loan a little bit.
Right, nuisance fee to get his shtar written, he'll be in a better position or consideration to get it done. One who will obligate in a case of garmi, right? So garmi, groma is something where there's causation, right? But it's not so directed. Garmi is where there's causation. It's not a direct outcome or a direct result, but it's pretty certain that the action will cause a reaction. All right, so megavi be meishtar rama alya. So someone who is willing to, in Beis Din, according to opinion, it's a machlokas, according to Baba Kam, machlokas, whether we are dan dine de gamay or not. So what, according to the one who says we are dan dine de gamay, that when you cause a loss to someone and it's a pretty directed loss that you're causing, right, I mean that the causation is directed, not the loss, but that the cause that you've, or the action that you've taken will almost certainly cause the loss, then what? Then we say, you've got to pay. So in our case here, where he's mochel the loan, is there going to be a loss to the buyer? The answer is yes. So even though he directly didn't cause the loss, he wasn't mazik, the lokeach, but his action, right, will directly impact on the buyer of the loan. So therefore, we can come back and claim from him what? Shtar malyu, the whole amount of the loan. The one who does not willing to, unless it's direct nezek, that he's not willing to take or have monetary damages paid, then in this case, what is he owed? He's owed the value of the paper that the shtar was written on. Why? Because when he forgave the loan, he made the paper worthless. He made the whole shtar worthless. Now, he can't collect what's written in the paper, because what's written in the paper is Dover Shein Bo Mamash, or Dover Shein Be'ein, and we saw yesterday in the Tosfos read, right? That means you can't be Kone, but what you can be Kone is the Shtar. The actual paper itself is Be'en, and you can be Kone that. So that, you did cause a loss too, that's a directed loss, and that you can make a claim on. Haba Uvdu, there was a case such as this, V'kafki Rafafam L'Rav Ashi V'agbe Be'kishua L'Tzalme. So it was a case like this, and Rafram forced Rav Ashi, right, or pushed Rav Ashi, and forced him to, or pushed him to collect the full amount of the shtar. Kikishura letzalme. That's right. Rashi says kikishura letzalme. Kvamar givui gomor, a full collection. Kol hahefse diktek bo kashay yidaktek halokeach kora letzur ba'tzurot. Just like a buyer, in our day, a buyer of a canvas, or a buyer of a cloth would check it over before he did it. Over here, a person who's buying a board to write on or to design on would check it to make sure that it's what? Flat and beautiful. Right? So it's fat and nice to be able to paint on or to color on or to carve on. So kshura is a board, right? So kshura letzalme, right? But letzalme is to make a picture on it. So you collected it fully like someone would check a board to be painted on. Okay, so then, based on this, I want to say that if... So now, what's the point? If you're mochel on a ksuba, if you're mochel on a chov, what are we saying here? That there is mechila here, right? If there is mechila, then the debtor is no longer chayiv to the creditor or to the buyer of the loan. But who is chayiv? The creditor is chayiv to the lokeach. Basically returning his money. But basically, he's chayiv to him the entire amount of the loan. Because he took money today. He basically, in the end, borrowed money from the lokeach, right? Because he sold him this shtar. And then he wiped out the whole value of the shtar when he forgave the shtar. So this guy now is what? Not going to get his money's worth. So he basically has to pay back the amount he bought it for. or either he has to pay back the amount he bought it for, or the, I mean, he has to pay back the full amount of the shtar, because he probably bought it at some discounted value at that time. So the creditor who forgives the loan now is what? Chayav, to repay the lokeach. So now what question do you have? We go back to our first case today. The first case today was what? The daughter was going to forgive her mother's ksuba and then inherit from her father's estate and be better off. But why is she better off? Once she's forgiven the ksuba, she has to pay the...
Does the Zerish also have to...
It's Dina Degarmi. It's Dina Degarmi. So if she's the same causation... Right. Anybody creates that causation will then be chayiv to repay the creditor, or the buyer, will have to repay the buyer for their loss here. So she should have to pay out to the buyer.
So what is she gaining?
Exactly. So that's it. So tell us what's this question.
Does Rav Nachman hold like Rabbi Meir?
Yeah. No, in general, he says we pass it. Kasha the Rabbeinu Yitzchak. If you look at the first Tosus. Kasha the Rabbeinu Yitzchak. The Ma'ir Bircha. Right? What did she gain? Ha'amina b'samach manta dan dine gamei megabi bei dmei shtar ma'aya. V'Rav Nachman gufei don dine di gamei ba'goz avatra and above kama. We know that he does. So what is the benefit to the woman, or to this girl, if she forgives the loan? So v'yesh mefarshim, that's an interesting case. V'yesh mefarshim diktana haita, that she was a minor, right? Kamoa pu'utot, right? Those like the pu'utots can transact, but, right, they can't take from others, right? So matanatan matana, but they can give gifts. But but they would not be chayvei din gamei. Rabbeinu Nitzach Nira mitochach lo mechayvei midin gamei ella domim shenatnu la aktuvata. So what here? Because that's right. That what she has to return here din gamei is how much she bought the ksuba for.
Which is the Tovus
Hanor. Right. Exactly. Velo kol ksuba nitza shemarvechet harbe. All right, the Gemara sounds like when you have Don Dini de Garme that your Megabe Shtar means the whole value of the Shtar.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds like they're taking the whole thing, not just the payment. But, so he gives
Tosus.
Yeah,
that's
it. It's not, that motion does not sound like you're just collecting the value of the Lokeach paid. Like, so in that case, by a bachov, it's not as big a deal. By a ksuba, we said that she's only getting ktovas hanah because there's the uncertainty of her lifespan, there's the uncertainty of her husband's lifespan. I mean, the two things are going to impact whether she gets a ksuba or not, or girsha, whether she gets kirushin.
Why can't we say there's also the uncertainty as to whether or not it'll be nimchal, and it'll make the ktovas hanah even less.
Right.
You know, price it into the price.
Price it into the value of the ksuba. So in the end, that's what we do say in the end, that that's what's going to get priced in, because in the end, he's entitled to the full, according to what Rebitzel suggests, one possibility is what? That she just has to return the Tovas Hanah. Whatever, the Lokeach paid for it. Paid for the shtar. You return that money. But the value of the shtar is irrelevant here. So even though the creditor or the buyer of the ksuba bought it at a discounted value, assuming, taking risk that in the end it'll be worth much more, right? Then now he ends up with zero, but he gets his money back. So
that's really the amount that they paid.
Right.
It's an investment, but that's also really the amount that you're damaging them.
That's not necessarily true, because he paid that amount 10 years ago. So now he could have taken that money, was valuable in the last 10 years, would have worth so much more if he had invested it somewhere else. And now he invested it here, and now he ends up with zero.
Right? Also could have lost it.
Right. Right. No, I'm just saying that this case does have an outcome where he would get zero. It turns out it worked out. His investment was a good investment. And now he's going to end up with nothing. So he is getting, in a sense, getting cheated out of the value that he really bought the full shtar, and her mechila is, right, reducing the value of what he bought. But anyway, that's what Yitzchak suggests in the Tosfos, that's the possibility here. She benefits from exactly that differential. The differential between the amount that he bought it for versus the true amount of the shtar, that's exactly why she wanted to do the mechila. Now, you saw the Rashba, and you see, like, Lashon Rashi, but even from the Gemara, it seems that when they say, shtar ma'alyo, I mean, it sounds like you can collect the whole shtar out of the creditor. When he forgives it, you can go back to the creditor and collect the whole amount. So in that case, how did you come up with the case? So Tosfos said the answer was what? The case was, we're talking about Aktana, where she can, what? She can be mochel. Her mechila is a good mechila. But, what? We are not going to be mechayiv her in din. She's not old enough to be in dinin d'gamli, and therefore what? Therefore, when she forgives the she forgives the amount, she'll forgive the ksuba, but she will not be brought to court to pay for that action. And therefore, here she will benefit from the fact that she then gets the ksuba through her father and has blocked the creditors or the buyers out and not having to pay them anything. So those are the two answers that are given by Tosfos. It's just interesting. In general, again, when you don dinin d'gamli here, right, the two possibilities, and I think it's interesting the way the Gemara views these two possibilities of whether you have to repay the entire chov or whether you have to just repay the amount that you expended, the investment that you made in the chov. And again, it really depends on how you view what the loss at hand is. Is the loss at hand the investment loss? I mean, that you cause the person to not realize the value of their investment over a period of time, and therefore you really owe them the whole chov, right? Or is the loss that you caused, the loss that you caused is really what? The loss that they paid money in, and now their money, the options within their payment are not being realized because you blocked one of the opportunities. You basically blocked one of the outcomes. And therefore, you've taken away an option and you've made this investment, right, a bad investment. But more than that, he had a possibility that he would have lost all of his investment. So giving him back his investment is just a good way to solve. That's the real loss that you caused him. I think it's, right.
So I don't know if you took away it from him. If you did, don't talk about it again. When Rashi says at the end of the previous case, when he says, Adam Choshev Shani, so he says, L'fishi le'meidim heinen obieshi asum af shalol l'krofim. Right. Do you mean to say that the krofim you can actually... I mean, the whole case is for them so hard to sell it. Yeah. But does he mean to say that, yes, it's muta for krofim and it's usher for l'krofim?
We saw with Rabbi Yochanan also. Rabbi Yochanan, two or three cases already. We've seen with Kravite to Rabbi Yochanan, where he helped out his krovim. Now,
that's what occurs. It
sounds like it has halachic implications that you're allowed to do things for krovim. That's what we would say. Americans.
Right. But I think the question is, where is the...
Maybe the Indian was, he gave an Eitzah, the Eitzah was a kosher Eitzah. But, and he's balancing the sort of the Finim Shur Sadin. So Finim Shur Sadin, if it's your relative, so take care of your relative first. If it's not Finim Shur Sadin, keep your mouth shut. I'm saying, he gave an Eitzah, the Eitzah, they're allowed to do it. It wasn't that they did it.
It's hard for us to understand.
Wait, it's not trade.
Hungarians will understand. They're very, very close in terms of family.
Right.
The whole Hungarian thing, whatever
it is. It wasn't an issue of family. It's funny that the breakdown between, in America, you see a lawyer and a judge as being two separate functions. Right. And therefore, if a lawyer gives advice, then why shouldn't they give advice to anybody, right? But here, when we're talking about Orchei Dayanim, we're talking about people who are functioning as Dayanim also,
right?
And then the advice has been given by the Dayan, so that's right, which is where the issue really is raised.
It doesn't seem like Rav Nachman was a Dayan over here.
Well, they came to him, right? They came to Rav Nachman to ask him to say what... So Rav Nachman says to these people...
If you look at if she knew that information that she could be mochel and it would work, then it's fair. It's a fair game.
I agree with you. I'm not sure it was an official din.
Yeah,
but they came to Rav Nachman. They came to Rav Nachman to ask him what's the halacha going to be. Not that they came as in a din, and then he basically helped out.
I'm saying, I think the device, what she did, if she was the Baptist mochel, is no problem, right? It's fair game. Right. The issue is why do you give the information? There's two people coming in. Right. Each one has it's fair. Each one has the information.
Right.
Why do you put your nose in and give this guy better? That's not your job. So if it's a krovin. My job, so I make krovin, so I have to make advice.
But it's an interesting, right? Why wouldn't you make every party a legal party in halacha? We just generally look.
Because what is your business? He knows this. He knows any business transaction I see. Let's say you buying oranges, and I know these oranges will sell not sell. Should I say it's a good deal, bad deal? Keep your mouth out of it. But if you're my relative. Don't buy the oranges.
Right. I mean, that's what is happening. Yeah. That's exactly what the question is.
It also makes sense. I mean, it was like, if the oranges, like, I know they're going to go bad. So on one hand,
I'm hurting.
They'll be good for a week instead of 2 weeks.
It's a fair deal. It's a business.
So, like, I don't, do I have the right to hurt the seller? You know, but,
right.
But if my relative is the one who maybe is going to get hurt, but then I do have a right. Then I should speak up.
Right. Yeah.
Well, but stop, just get involved in the transaction, and, you know, the right.
Yeah, why stay away from it? Why help him on the side?
Right. But still, anyway, it's still an unusual thing that you can be. But I think Rav Nachman here functions as, he is a dayan, but he's not functioning in this case as a dayan necessarily.
As a lawyer. You know?
Right. In this case, he knows that how to help. And so he's helping.
Well, it can't be that he said it to the ones who came to him. If it means that they came to him to claim, obviously he didn't say it to them.
Right. Well, he does say this. He says to them, who's going to give? He's like talking to him. He says, who's going to give this girl Eitzah to get you guys off of her? That's basically what he says to them.
Yeah.
And she overhears it and then goes and does it. That's basically what happens.
Yeah, he's giving her advice.
Right. Well, it's indirectly. He's by talking to them, he's giving her advice. Right. That's exactly how he does it. He says, Amar lo Rav Nachman, lech lisba lo leitza. Who's going to give this girl advice? Right? Teza v'tichla d'ksubas v'dima. And then she hears it and does it. Shama v'asma.
I mean, she still is not whole. I mean, she would get the money from ksuba as opposed to waiting out for the father's money.
Right. But it's still better for her because she'll end up with that money and eventually. I mean, it seems like.
But it's better for father. For her, it would be, you know.
I don't know. I thought about that. Nobody addressed that. I was looking at that because you have to assume she's
going to have some future value. She's going to have something.
You have to assume that, first of all, she's the only child here because she's going to get all the value through her father.
Right.
And then number two is, like, there are no sons here. You have to figure out. And then number two is, like you're saying that.
Present value, future value,
right. The father's going to die. I mean, it's still worth something to her because if they take it, then she gets nothing. So it's still, even if it's future value, it's still worth something to her.
Wouldn't she get it?
No, she gets zero. If they take it, she gets zero.
Because
the book can take it. So there is value to it.
Yeah,
all right.
No, definitely.
All right, sorry. I'm Shmei the Rav Chama. Haiman de Mika Lake Ksubas Ishu Balchov. Somebody who has two creditors. One is a Ksuba and one's a Balchov. Isle Arab, Isle Zuzin. He has money and he has land. The Balchov Misalkan Leib Zuzay, Lish Misalkan Leib Ara. You pay out the borrower, the creditor, with money, cash, and the woman you pay out with land. Haikidine, Vaikidine. Each one according to their din. Meaning that when they made, each one of them took their transaction, this was their underlying assumption. When you're a creditor, you give money and you expect to get money back. Right? Land is just collateral. Land is a lien that you have in order to protect you, but you really expect to get money back. Ksubasisha is all based on Ara. Right, the Ksuba Zisha is really Somech Anara. That's what we've been talking about all along. That Samchadata, the whole idea is that the woman should rely on something that is what? Of value to her, that it has sustaining value to her. And that's important, right?
You can't be satisfied most.
Right, well, Metalton don't work, except after Takanas are going, right? So they have Aikidine. Vilo Ika Elechad Ara. What happens if he only has one piece of land? I mean, that's it. Vilo Chayza Elechad. And the repayment would only suffice for one of the two parties here, the Ksubas Isha or the Balchov. The Balchov Yavinanla, the Isha Lo Yavinanla. You give it to the Balchov, and then you would give it to the Isha, but you don't give it to the Isha, basically, in this case. My time, Yoter Mimasha Isha Rotzali, so Isha Rotzali Nase. More than a man wants to marry, that a woman really wants to get married. And that her psychological desire to get married will allow us in certain cases to supersede her claim in order to give it to the Baal Chov.
The shiba that a woman has on the husband's property.
Okay, so that's Rashi. Rashi says, what your question is, but say Rashi. So Rashi says, V'lo chayshin lamar mishum chino. We have a big problem here, because the Gemara in the beginning, on Shabbos, we talked about this, that we did the other way around. When it said, when we divide up the property that fell before it goes to the Yisomim, your Tofes, who does the Tfisa go to? The Tfisa went to the Ksubas Isha because of Mishum Chino. So we get precedence to the Ksubas Isha over the Baal Chov, right, because of Chino, that we want to make sure that the women would feel comfortable with their Ksubos. So we're going to have to do this. So Rashi says, Lo chayshin lamar mishum chino, v'davka sh'shtaris nichtavu b'yom echad. So this is to your question. The stars have to be marked the same date, meaning that the shibud of the woman does not precede the shibud of the Baal Chov, that they're on equal dates, and therefore, since they have equal claims, we give it to the Baal Chov first. But, if the woman precedes, right, that was your question, then certainly she will get it.
If the first man is kodem, then forget about chino. She should be kodem because his man is kodem.
Right, no, but then when they're equals man, that's a question.
No, when equals man, I'm saying, why do I have to use chino on Shabbos to say that she gets?
The daf on Shabbos? No, the daf on Shabbos is tfiso. That's a problem with tfiso. That's not a problem. They're not using shibud over there. They're using tfiso. It was taken. There they took it inappropriately. It belongs to the Shomer. Over there, the chino. I'm saying Rashi says, look, the chino. You should overhear it. The same thing should apply. If they had the same exact date on the star, the woman should take precedence because of chino. Right? Rashi says, we're not choshish for chinam. The question is, why not? Why is it different over here? Why is this case different than the case that we saw earlier about tefisa? Right? So that's one question. The second question, which Shaul was about to ask, was what? What about shibud? The woman shibud preceded the man's shibud, the wachov shibud here. Why is it? So Rashi addresses that. He says that's true. If the dates are different on the star, then whoever has the precedent, right? Right. So that's one issue. The two issues. So now we have to deal with the other issues. Now this is not easy. Now the one is isha chayvimin. Look in Tosfos. Tosfos isha. Right. So it says v'im tomer derminu leil tubas isha mishum chino. Afilu Rabbi Yamin lo polig el shabach chov hu koshel. Oshneim shavim modad yavinin l'ksubas isha. Even back in our case, right back on Pei Dalid, right? They only Rabbi Yamin only argued when what? When the two claims are equal, right? We're not equal, but here we have two equal claims. B'teirut Rabbeinu Tam, to halcha yavinu the balchov mishum the ika taima denilas delet, right? So by balchov you have a problem. In general, this Tosus mentioned this on Pei Dalet, which is what? How come over there on Pei Dalet we give the ksubas isha precedence, but yet when it comes to repaying loans with land, what type of land do you give to a balchov? You give benonis, middle grade land. What do you give? What type of land do you give to a ksubas isha? You give ziboris, right? The worst quality land. So Tosfos says over there by the Gemara in Pei Dalet, he asks, "What about mishum chino? Why don't you say mishum chino over there?" He goes, "But over here we say by the land we say yotzer me'ashia ish rotzeli isha ish rotzeli nase." So how can we apply it? So Tosfos says something. I mean, he says a very interesting principle, somewhat cryptic, but he says a line like this. He says, "Ain leads most takanas chachamim zulazu." Can't compare takanas chachamim. Each one has its own consideration, and therefore you can't compare the two. But now you're running to a third thing, right? Where we see here you're giving baal chov precedence. So you have two cases where you give the baal chov precedence, or he's treated differently, better, and then one situation where we're treating the ksubas isha better. So you have to at least explain, even if you say that takanas chachamim are different. You have to give some sort of plausible explanation for why they are different, right? So he suggests it's this, because of Nilas Delas Mifnei Lavin, right? What's that? We want to make sure that lenders are going to, we're going to keep the marketplace open to credit, right? If we lock the marketplace today, we're having that today, happening in America right now, right? When credit's locked, right, everything shuts down. There's no way to move. Business stops. There's an inability to transact because nobody trusts each other. Nobody's willing to extend credit. So over here, too, the Gemara always is worried about Nilas Delas, that they don't want to make any takanos that are going to make it so hard on the creditors that they will no longer want to borrow. They want to keep the credit markets liquid. So therefore, what? Uvi isha lo shayach nilas delet. By a woman, that's not an issue, right? Because you're not going to shut down the marriage market, right?
That's exactly what the Gemara is saying.
Yeah, exactly. 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 So, aval, the inyan, the akar misa. Listen to this, interesting thing. Leka nilas delet, demita lo shchicha. He says, so we're talking about two different cases. Depends when we're talking about. Over here, the man's alive, right? In our case over here, the man's alive. And then when a guy's alive, the creditor assumes he's going to get paid back. And it would be, if we allowed the supposition to take precedence over him, then the creditors would start to worry about lending out, because they'd always have to worry about this supposition, there won't be enough land left, and they're going to end up not lending. But in a case where he's dead, the debtor is dead, that the creditor is going to say, that's a yotze charig, that's an unusual case. Most times, the creditor is not going to die on me in the middle of the loan, right? The loan's going to be extended. The guy will be alive. They'll pay back the loan. This is an unusual case where he dies. That we're not going to be choshesh for those cases where he dies. All right. So in that case, I got locked out. That was an unusual case.
Are not going to stop lending because they're afraid.
The guys are dying. Exactly. Because Mises lo shlicha. We're not going to assume that every creditor is going to die. All right. So that's the way Tosfos here extends. It makes differentiates between the two cases. Depends when we're talking about it. If we're talking about the lifetime of the guy or after his death. During his lifetime, we're going to give the baal chov precedence because that's going to affect the credit markets. After his death, we're going to mishum chinah. We're going to give the ksubas isha precedence because people won't make a general assumption about the credit markets from that transaction. And number two is we have mishum chinah. We want the women not to be in a position where they feel like they're not going to get their money out in the end, and they're not going to want to marry.
All right. Now you were saying that the original argument is they're worried about shutting down the credit market, but you know people are not going to stop getting married.
Right.
But that's exactly why they're running Masake and the Shibud for
Shemchina.
Because they were afraid that women were, you know, in fact we've been handling where it said, you know, that there was time where women were
right. Shimon Shetach, you know, they stopped marrying.
Right, they stopped marrying.
Shimon is the second marriage. Shimon is the second marriage, not the first marriage. That's the next marriage. What's Mishum?
No, Mishum is the original marriage.
Who's that?
Did you say it? No. Is that when she's going to get married, she won't marry because she doesn't think she's going to get paid out in the end. She thinks that her ksuba is not going to be valuable in the end. It's not. Oh, wait, that's the way. The rach is a different shot. That's Rashi learned that the chain is for the women. The rach learns the exact opposite. Right. Rach learns that the chain is for the men side. That's the rach. The rach we discuss in shot, but the rach has the opposite shot there. Then Rashi. Alright. See, so you do have this aspect of the women cutting out, but I think that is, if you have an outlet, what's the general, where are the women going to collect? The women are going to collect when the husband dies, when he predeceases them. So you're giving, where are you giving her precedence? You're giving her precedence after, when he dies. Right? Where do you give the Baal Kol precedence when he's still alive? So you're trying to address both markets, right? Where the markets are, where it makes the most sense or the most impact for each of them. That's what Tosfos learns. I will point out, I'm not going to do it now, it's more complicated, but there is an next sheet in Tosfos that even if the Ksuvas Isha precedes the Baal Chov, that still the Baal Chov will get. It's as if we equal them out. We flatten it out and we don't give them. Just to note, it's an amazing thing that we would block the Shibud of the woman, even in this case, to give the Baal Chov precedence. There's a line in Tosfos. It's as if they're equal in time. I mean, Rashi clearly states it has to be equal in time. Here, there's another sheet in Tosfos that says that even if they're not, we make it as it is. They are equal in time. It's an amazing statement in Tosfos. All right, the other last thing I point out is that now in collections, this is good for Rabbeinu Tam to read. In the Tosfos that precedes this, the Baruch Hu Misalkin Lebezuzet. So, Zom Rabbeinu Tam, the Gimel Dinim Chalukim. We have three different dinim, the Malve, for a lender, the Nizak, for one who's damaged, the Sochir, to a Poel, someone who's renting. The Baal Chov Islay Zuze Lo Matzik L'Sukei Be'Aro. If he has money, he's got to pay money. A creditor lent money, he wants money back. That's the din of the creditor. Can I read Hacham? Nizak, I feel Islay Zuze Misakle Be'Aro. That a Nizak can, even if you have money, even if you have any money, you can hand him land and say, you go sell the land, take care of it. Why? Because it says, we have L'Rabos Shova Kesef. By Nizak, we have L'Rabos Shova Kesef. Anything that's of value, you can pay back by a Nizak. Someone who's, you're repaying damage can be paid any way you want, and there's no precedence of money over land. Over Sochir, afilu leis lezuzet. Even if he has no money, I really zil tarach zavim ba'ayse zuzet. He says, even if you don't have money, you gotta sell the land, and you gotta show up with the money. Because what, a Sochir hired himself out, someone who did it for to get paid, it's his wages. Right? He didn't rely on land. I'm sorry?
I have to pay him cash.
Yeah, he wasn't relying on your land to get paid, he was relying on the fact that you're gonna pay him. A creditor knows that in the situation when he has no cash, the collateral is the land that he owns. So he knows that when there is no cash, he's going to get land. So that's in his lending. So here you just have just a general repayment has to do with the mindset or what's permitted here. So Rabbi Antanzi, you have these three different issues, right? Mazik, Sachir, and Milva, and each one of them will depend on which what's your rights to the money here.
It's very interesting, in the different parsha sheets we get. So one of them is called Chemdat, whatever it is, and they had this Ask the Rabbi. So the question in this past week's parasha was, somebody had clothing that was damaged by cleaners, and the cleaner wants to pay for the damage by providing free cleaning services in the future. Are they allowed to? So he brought down, and by way of answer, he brought down these principles. You know,
so that's it, right? That he's a mazik can pay back anyway. Shavu Kesef, right? That's it. All right, very good. I'm going to lay up some modern day application.
Yeah, the only thing is
is it really true that we said this? Right, that what? Hi, man, the mask of Yisuzay, vislay aro, one who is a borrower and has land, v'at b'chol v'kot ha'v'minei, and the b'chol comes to grab from him, v'am alay zil shokol me'aro, right, go ahead and take my land. I'm really zil zavin at Vaisi, right? You go sell the land and give the money. So Vaisi have land, you give it to them. Amalei, lo emali, gufa da avda echavi. I don't know what the exact case. He says lo emali.
No,
I mean, I'm sorry, lo. Amalei lo. Emali, gufa da avda echavi. What was the case, right? Right, so he says, Amalei tola ma'osa b'obed kachavim avo. No, this is an unusual case. Because generally, like we saw in Tosfos here, that if you are a Malve and you have no money, you can use land. Land was one of the things he depended on to get his loan repaid. Right? So now, over here, what did the guy do? The guy, according to Rashi, did one thing. What he said, he lent money. He basically said that I gave my money to a non-Jew. or non-Jew has my money. I owe them. I owe this non-Jew money, and I gave it to this non-Jew. And therefore, when I give away to this non-Jew, now he has nothing to collect from. So basically, he's trying to block his money from being available to the creditors, right? How does he block his money being available to the creditors? He basically creates a corporation or some sort of way, and he puts the money outside of the reach of the creditors. So he says, this guy tried to put the money outside the reach of the creditors, so we're gonna treat him inappropriately. What is the shloka hugan? Meaning that we're gonna make him sell the land and pay the money. Not that he's gonna what? Not that he's gonna be able to just hand the land over. That's the way he learns. Tosfos learns, other Rishonim learned that what? The issue was here. It's not at the time now where he's trying to repay the loan. It was earlier on. In the original, when the creditors came to take the money from him, he went ahead and gave all his money to a non-Jew. Why did he give his money to a non-Jew? So if the non-Jew has his money, then he doesn't have to, right? He won't have to repay this loan with money. Then, when it comes to actual time of collection, they went to Din and they come to collection, the Obi Kochavim says, you know what? He refuses to give the money back. He's like, oh, you gave me the money, I'm going to keep the money. So now this guy's up a creek because he tried to, you know, basically when you create these scams to get around having the creditors be getting the money, in the end, somebody could really keep the money and make it difficult for you. So that's what happened. So they said, well, that's too bad because the whole reason you gave him the money was to get around it. We're not going to have rachamim on you now that you don't have any money to pay back and you can give land back. All right. According to you that says paying back a loan is a mitzvah, he says, I do not want to pay back, I don't want to do a mitzvah, right? Then what's the requirement here? What do we do to this guy? Right? So now Rashi asks, a mitzvah lovely frochobo, la mitzvarav, tiktiv hein tzedek, sheilacha hein tzedek, I'm sorry, sheilacha hein shalcha tzedek, valav shalcha tzedek, you got to speak the truth. Right, so that's it. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that you gotta, everything you say, you do, you gotta act honestly. So you have a mitzvah to repay it. What happens if you say, I don't want to repay it? I'm late, Tanino. But mitzvah lotaseh, we already learned this. Is this by a mitzvah lotaseh? Where do you get malchus arbaim, right, chaser achas? Where do you get 39 lashes? That's only if you violate a mitzvah lotaseh. Have a mitzvah saseh? When you have a positive commandment to do something, you go, Jomilo, I say, sukkah venoseh. He wants to make a sukkah, he doesn't do it. Lulav, ain't no sick. Take a lulav, and he doesn't do it. Makano to'ach, tete nafsho. You hit him until. To force someone to do a mitzvah saseh, it's a makos mardus. You hit him until he does it right. So here too, it's a mitzvah saseh. Pray lamit devarav, to do the right thing. And what? You whip him until he does what he's supposed to do here. You pay back the loan. All right, now, what the case is not so clear here. Is this just a regular creditor case, and the debtor doesn't want to pay back? Or, this is a case... What?
If you say it's a mitzvah.
Right, there is no shibud. So that's why most people are going to say, Rishonim say, what's the case here? It's yorshim. They're yorshim, right? So by yorshim ketanim, if you have ketanim that are yorshim, then there's no mitzvah on ketanim. But what happens if you have yorshim that are gdolim? Yorshim that are gdolim, there is a mitzvah incumbent on them. So who are we talking about here? That's what it seems. Tosa says this, others say this. And what we're talking about here that yisomim gdolim, who inherited from their father, and now there's a mitzvah of their father, right? Even though they're not, it's not incumbent on them to do kibbut av, right, with their money. It's now their money, but there's still a mitzvah to pay back the chov, and that mitzvah is obligant on them. And therefore, when they say we don't want to do the mitzvah, is there any implication of them saying we don't want to do the mitzvah?
Right, and you have no shibud, that's why they can't go take.
Right, well, shibud on the land, right? There's no shibud on land because otherwise, right, you can collect out of the land. All right. This is your get, but you will not be divorced with it until after 30 days. She takes it, puts it in the Tidei Rishus HaRabim. Mal, what's the din? He says that doesn't work. That's from Rabbi Shmuel we had earlier in our Gemara. What is that? Rabbi Shmuel, you can only have a kinyan in a place that is after the Rishus HaRabim, like we saw that before, the tfisa that you do on stuff after death only works when it's Rishus HaRabim. That's a place you can make a kinyan, right? But Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, right? So Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim damu, right? And the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are like what? The Rishus HaRabim. So if a tofes can take a kinyan in Rishus HaRabim, why can he do that? Because there's no kinyan for the yisomim in Rishus HaRabim, which means it's a hefker area. So there, if she puts her get down in a hefker area, then when the 30 days come for her to be nisgarish, the get is not in her possession. It's no longer in her possession. Somewhere it says, Why don't you say she's a migresh like Rav Nachman? Damar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbar Vua. Omer the chaveru mashuk paruzu b'leitzi yaknuli achad achash l'shem yom. That if you take make a kinyan on this para, but the kinyan won't be effective until 30 days from now. Kano ba'afilu omer ba'agam. He can be koneh even if it's sitting in the agam and in a place that's not a royal the kinyan for him. Right? It doesn't have to be in his own property. Right? In his possession. My love, Hainu Agam, Hainu Tzidei Rishus Arabim. What's the difference between Agam and Rishus Arabim, or Tzidei Rishus Arabim? So the Gemara says, no, lo, Agam Lochu, but Tzidei Rishus Arabim Lochu. These are all different types of locations. You know, you have a Rishus Arabim, you have an Agam, and they're all different. They're all different. Ikad Amri, so there are some that say, Amalei Megureshet, Mid Rav Nachman, that his answer was, what, it was like Rav Nachman and she is divorced. Tzidei Rishus Arabim, Kagam Dami. So the Gemara would answer back, Ad Rabol. Ain't a begreshes me the Rabbi Shmuel. My love, I know Rishus Rabbim, I know Tzidei Rishus Rabbim, that they should be equivalent to Rishus Rabbim. Lo, Rishus Rabbim lachud, but Tzidei Rishus Rabbim lachud. Right, so that's a question of where you differentiate. Is Tzidei Rishus Rabbim like Rishus Rabbim and Agam is different? Or is it Agam and Tzidei Rishus Rabbim similar and Rishus Rabbim is going to be different?
Rabbi Shmuel didn't discuss that, right? They didn't discuss
no. They discussed Simta, which Tosfos deals with. I won't spend time on it, but they discussed Simta, so you actually have another factor in here. Where does Simta fit in versus Agam versus Tzidei Rishus Rabbim? Because there they discuss whether Simta is or Simta is not. Just so you know that.
So Agam is considered regular Rishus Rabbim.
Well, yeah, all right.
According to the second answer,
Agam and Tzidei Rishus Rabbim are equal, and therefore it works in both places. Yeah, exactly. In the first case, we said no, Agam is different than Tzidei Rishus Rabbim, and Rishus Rabbim and Tzidei Rishus Rabbim are worse. Agam's better.
Agam is better.
Right. That's what we said in the first answer. That was the first possibility. The question is what the case here is a little bit strange because in general we say that he has to say Miaksha. For the kinyan to be chal, right? We say he has to say Miaksha by para. He has to say Miaksha. If it's really in the Agam and he didn't say Miaksha, that the kinyan is effective, I mean that the Maisa kinyan is the Maisa kinyan of today, right? Then that's only what? Then it's not the kinyan later on in the Agam is going to be meaningless. So the kinyan has to be, the Maisa kinyan has to be a kinyan today that he says Miaksha, it'll work if in 30 days, right, where nothing changes, right? Or in 30 days, today's kinyan will be effective. Right, that's the only way you can get around it being in the Agam in 30 days from now. Right, that you have to say Miakshav. So then the question is, once he says Miakshav, why by get does that not work? She accepted the get today. He says Miakshav, it'll be a get in 30 days from now. So why is Miakshav not help her? Right, so why don't you have to say Miakshav?
I understand that Agam is considered his possession. That's why it works in 30 days.
What?
It's only the Maisa of the Kenyan.
Right.
Still needs to be attached to the Maisa of the Kenyan. So that's why he has to say Miakshav.
Yes, so you connect it to it. It's 30 days, but it has to be in a possession in 30 days.
Right. So I you have to differentiate, I think, and I'm not sure what the Gemara, it's great, this Gemara is difficult from that perspective, because if you already say Miakshav, it seems like the Maisa Kinyan. If what you're saying is true, when the Maisa Kinyan was not effective on the first time, when he was Moshech the Paro, then it wasn't effective, and his real Kinyan's happening in the Agam, right? But then he didn't say Miakshav. But those who's insisting that he said Miakshav here. If he's Miakshav, then the Maisa Kinyan happened today. What? Yeah, that's what Tosa is suggesting. So I don't understand. Once you say Miakshav, I'm not sure why it matters where the part is later on or the get is later on.
If you left it open for 30 days, then it has to be that in the 30 days it also has to be in a possession because that closes the thing.
I don't know. Why can't he sell it in between? What happens if he sells it within the 30 days? He owned it from the first day if after 30 days, right? But over here, I guess he's saying it's not Knulach Adach Shloshim Yom. Miakshav.
Is it night? And if something goes wrong in the 30 days, for example.
Right, but that'll reverse it.
Yeah, but when it goes wrong, it's not in your possession.
But when is the actual Maisa Kinyan happening? If you don't say Miakshav, the Maisa Kinyan happens at the 30 days.
It happens on the Freya, but you need the 30. I mean, it happens back, but you need to pass it.
But it shouldn't have to be in his possession at the end of the 30 days. I'm not sure what Tosfos is after here. It's very difficult, Tosfos here. They're saying that once you say Miakshav, the Maisa Kinyan happened already. Who cares where it is after the 30 days? You have to fulfill. In 30 days, it'll work, but it works out.
Tosfos makes a distinction at the end of that Tosfos.
Yeah. He wants to make differentiation.
Yeah,
it's strange. Again, I'm not sure I understand it totally because generally when you say Miakshav, the Maisa Kinyan was chal right away, and then who cares where it is later on? All right, so I don't have to spend just. I'm raising the issue. I'm not sure what the answer is. All right, Mishnah. Moshe ved ishto chenbonit, one who made his wife the storekeeper, or shemina potropia, or he let his wife invest his money. Arzum mashbia calls man. He could take any point we want. He can be mashbia her that she hasn't been pocketing some of the profits. She hears it. Rabbi Lezer Omer, yes, good for a good marriage. Rabbi Lezer Omer, afilu al pilcho v'alisoto. Once he's got her, swearing, Let her have a
household expense.
Exactly. Anything she spent for her money, anything she's cooking, the bread, she didn't take stick some flour in her pocket, whatever it is, he can make her swear on this. I read it as a gilgul. But Rabbi Elazar say once he's making her nishpa on the store and on the thing, he can add in this stuff also. That'd be gilgul. Is that really true? Or is Rabbi Elazar saying he doesn't even need that? He can look at, yeah, exactly. I can do it. Go ahead. They answer Rabbi Elazar that a woman doesn't live with a snake, meaning that it's an unreasonable request to have her swear about everything she takes. So if you say that you can make him take the, make her take the netter anytime he wants, makes sense that they're saying you can't live like this. Right, wait, what does she care? He's already making her swear on the other stuff. Just that, swear on this too. No, because she could say, if you're so particular, so miserly, so particular about the money that you're so worried that I might have taken something, I can't live with you like this. This is just an impossible situation.
Big money is one thing, little money is another.
Exactly. So tashma. So I have another proof. Harei shelo patar ishto min haneder min hashvua. Right, if he did not allow his wife to get out of a neder or shvua, v'oshiva chen banit. This relates to our next mission, you'll see in a second. Then he makes her into the storekeeper, or shmina popitropia, or he made her into a, you know, his investment advisor. Or zeh mashbia kolz man sheyirtze, he can make her swear anytime he wants. Lo oshiva chen banit, v'lo mina popitropia, and he yechol hashbia. If he didn't put her in those positions, then he can't make her swear. That's who? The Tanakama. Right, Rabbi Elazar Meir, Apopish, Lo Shiva, and Chlanis, Philomena, Trumpia. Here you go explicitly. Rabbi Elazar says what? Right. Right, he can do it any time. Some point in her life, she was responsible for him. Right, therefore, he can make her swear anytime he wants. So Rabbi Elazar believes, anytime he wants, he can make her swear that she's not taking any of his money. Right? But she can make him swear. No, it's his money, right? So he can
swear.
Any apitropus. This is a din in apitropus, meaning that anybody who's held responsible in an investment in an advisory role or in a role of trust, there's one of the rights. It's the shvud derabbanan, but the rabbanan allowed you to swear, make him swear any time to say that he's doing it right. The amit devarav. It's not unique to a woman, but here the woman's in that position of the man's stuff. It's interesting. Amrlo in Adam Darbanachashim Kfifa. That's the answer to him. That's it. Shmamino lechatchila. Shmamino. The Rebbe Elazar would have said it even lechatchila. It's an amazing thing. Okay, next Mishnah. We'll do the Mishnah and then we'll do the Gemara tomorrow. Katav law neder ushva ainli alayich. Right? I will not make you take any shvuas or nedarim. All right.
What
is
the
right? Or at the time of the ksuba, he doesn't have to. You know, at the time of the ksuba, whatever it is, he's pattering her. And
Yochav. Was Rabbi Elazar makabel that argument, or did he stick by?
The halacha is right based on this. If Rabbi Elazar is really talking about chatchila, that means the rabbanan hold that you could do gilgul. So that means the halacha we pass in what, like the rabbanan versus Rabbi Elazar, that what you can only make her swear when she's not betrothed. But once you do make her swear she's not betrothed, you can roll in isata and pilcha because that'll be the lean on the chacham. Right, sorry. But yeah, the halacha is like the chachamim and Rabbi Elazar, right? Stayed by his position. Alright. He can't make her swear. So that was the case before, that he didn't write. Remember, the proof we brought was lokatavla. Meaning that here, he writes to her, I'm not going to make you swear. I mean, I trust you, I'm not going to make you swear. Aval mashbia hu et yorsheh. But, et abayim birshuta. If someone else fills in for her position, he can make them swear, because his release on the shvua was only for her, not for anybody who comes in her place. Neder ushva inli alayich val yorsheh, right? Anan al yorsheh, alayich val yorsheh. On you or your inheritors, then abayim bishutech, and yechol hashbia lo hi, lo yoshav, v'lo et abayim bishuta. Can't make anybody swear. He's basically given a release. It's a full release.
He can't.
Aval yoshav. But what about his inheritors? They can be mashmin otav, et yoshav, et abayim bishuta. Once his yorshim step up in his position, they can make them swear because they're not bound by the release that he wrote. Right? Neder ushva ainli lo. Below the Yorshi, right? Not me, and not my Yorshim. Below Bayim Bershuti, and anybody who comes in my place. Alech Val Yorshech Val Bayim Bershutech. So he's clear, the release is a full release, right? And you Chalash Bi Alohu, below Yorshav, below Bayim Bershuto, lo Otav, below Yorshav, below Bayim Bershuta. They're clear to all parties here. There's no way to get a Shavu out here, right? Hocham Yikever Balo, the base of Via. But right, she walked from her husband's funeral and went to her base of Via. Osha Chazar, the base of Chamiya, or she went back to her, meaning her husband's house. Base of Chamiya means her husband's house. And she did not become responsible for the estate. She's not managing the estate. Then the Mirshim can't be Mashbiyotai, because she hasn't done anything with their money. She doesn't have any rights to do anything. V'imnasis apitropia, but if she becomes responsible for the estate and manages the estate, Yorshi mashpia otah la'atid lavo, they can be mashpia her on from that point forward, because what, now she's taking responsibility.
And the husband's right. Tour doesn't work.
V'ein mashpia otah mashover, they can't make her swear on what she did for her husband.
Even in a gilgul.
Right?
Even in a gilgul.
Yeah, even with the Yogo, the case, we have to get to the Gemara, what's the case here, who was released, who was not released, why is this the case?
But it's not even, there's no release.
Right.
It sounds like,
yeah, it sounds like a case where it's not released.
No release, because she's gone right from there, she was never overlapping as a...
Right, she never, they don't have a right to make her swear
right.
About the...
Because the husband has a right, they don't get the right, and then...
No, but she was never an apotropos.
For them, she was never an apotropos for them, she was for her husband, and then he died.
Okay. No, but the Nazis have a problem.
Right, she became after death. After death.
Yeah, after death. So she's not a problem.
Even though she had a cure, but now she's dealing with
right,
new
it's not clear. It's Gemara tomorrow.